Hey, we're back here on Downtown on a Monday afternoon with a Monday night NHL hockey. Bruins going at it tonight against the St. Louis Blues, and we'll talk about that and more as we're joined by Ty Anderson from 98.5 The Sports Hub. Hello there, Ty.
Hey, Rich, how we doing today?
Doing well, thanks. But what is up with these Monday games?
Yeah, this is weird. Really since the new TV deal between TNT and ESPN and what have you, there's been a lot more of these kind of Monday and Wednesday games. You know, used to have that set schedule, right? Used to go Bruins on Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and then Celtics on, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Now it can be any night. You know, it's kind of – so it's a bit bizarre. I believe this is the third week in a row that there's been a Monday night Bruins game. So a little unusual, but, hey, it's hockey, so you can't complain that much.
All right, we'll talk about the Blues in a bit. Now, does the time change, does that mess with you at all?
Not necessarily. I think – you know, I'm used to a lot of later nights just with what I do, and then you kind of have to kind of carve out some time off in between. But I will say it's nice walking to the garden or taking the train or whatever when the sun is still out. That's probably the biggest adjustment, I think, is arriving to an arena when it's still light outside. I associate that with the playoffs, though, so that means that fun is typically around the corner. So I think from that standpoint, it kind of perks my mood up just a little bit, you know, knowing that you get the finish line coming up here soon and some fun is on the way.
Well, let's talk about what's gone on lately with the Bruins. Sometimes the best trades are the ones you don't make. And boy, it sure seemed like Linus Ullmark felt that way with the performance we saw from him, saving 38 out of 39 shots and apparently awfully happy to just still be a Bruin.
Yeah, this was real. The idea that he could have been on the move or could have been traded or they wanted to trade him, it was real. And this wasn't just, you know, fans creating polls online or, you know, message boards kind of chattering. This was actually coming from league offices. And, you know, some of the game's top insiders. We know that New Jersey wanted the goaltender. They got Jake Allen from Montreal. We know that L.A. Wanted the goaltender. They didn't get one, ultimately. But you know, this was, you looked at Linus Ullmark and the Bruins' needs, and the Bruins really had a kind of way out. Can we afford to trade one of our goaltenders if it makes us better at another position? And now they tried, but Linus has made it clear that he is not going to waive a no trade. So basically what has to happen here is that you have to trade him to a team that's on his list. And if they're not on his list, he's going to say no. And I think that's the biggest takeaway that you get from this past deadline, was that if he has any say in the matter, he's not leaving. He loves being a Bruin. He loves the connection he has with Jeremy Swayman and in the organization as a whole. So he doesn't want to leave. And I think it's really just as simple as that. So that's where it gets interesting for the Bruins, you know, after this season, is that he does have, you know, he has a 15-team no trade. How does that no trade look, though, right? Like, a lot of times, if a guy doesn't want to get traded, but he has to have teams on his list, he puts teams that he knows either that team won't trade him to or that they won't need him, so to speak. So it'll be interesting to see if they can move on from him this summer, but it's going to take a lot based on these last, you know, this last year plus of trying to trade him. It's going to take an awful lot to get rid of him because of his trade protection.
You wrote about this at 98.5thesportshub.com. The Bruins did seem to get more physical at the deadline.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's the biggest thing to sort of look at. Between adding Pat Maroon, who's 6'3" and had 7 fighting majors this year, a guy who's won 3 Stanley Cups. And then you look at Andrew Peak, who's a 6'3" right-shot defenseman who blocks shots and throws his body around. So really kind of a focus on getting bigger, getting stronger, getting a bit more physical. It's been a complaint internally that this team has had with their front office, saying they're not physical enough. And Andrew Peak's the guy that's kind of really interesting there. You know, a player who didn't really have a great year in Columbus last year. This year was kind of a spare part for them. And, you know, they're a pretty bad team. So to not draw into their lineup is a bit concerning. But the Bruins believe they can fix him. They love the physical tools, the mental makeup. He's played with Trent Frederick and Jeremy Swayman for a World Juniors team. So they look at that and they think they got something there. So it's really about repairing him, but they like what he can bring when he's on his game.
Pat Maroon, maybe a little bit of bad blood with the Bruins from when they met in the playoffs. But is he one of those guys that when he's on your team, you love him? When he's on somebody else's team, you want to thrash him?
Oh, absolutely. And listen, the Bruins are no stranger to that kind of player, right? They had Garnett Hathaway last year, who had problems with many Bruins on the team. And Tyler Bertuzzi before him, you know, Dmitry Orlov concussed Kevin Miller in the 2021 playoffs. And so you look at it from that standpoint, yeah, he's one of those guys that you love him when he's on your team and you can't stand him when he's on the other side. So I think that's kind of how you have to look at Pat Maroon. And Pat Maroon's a guy that, I'm telling you, when he takes his first shift with the team and you see him and you see what he can do out there, the physicality and the fighting, like, fans are going to love him. So he is totally one of those kind of players. And, you know, the Bruins, again, no stranger to that type of talent, both either acquiring it or having it on their roster.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown. So given the fact that they had limited resources and not a lot of draft picks to trade, had to be careful of money, did they do pretty well at the deadline?
Yeah, I think that, you know, if you were giving them a grade for it, you'd probably give them a C+, B-. I think that there's a lot of uncertainty with Peak. You know, it's just a gamble, right, to acquire a guy without retaining any money, who was basically a seventh defenseman on a bad team. So he has term left on his contract. And, you know, like, their scouts and their pro staff has definitely bought some goodwill over time. You know, their recent acquisitions have been mainly, you know, mostly almost certainly value add. But this is a pretty big leap, I think, in terms of him being what you need. Now, that said, you know, if $2.75 million is what crushes you moving forward, then I don't really think you built the team the right way to begin with. So that's the only negative I would say that you would have here. Just the guy with just so much uncertainty and so much sort of unknown that you're putting a lot of faith in your pro scouting staff. But overall, to your point, yeah, like, they didn't have a lot to trade. And they didn't have a lot of cap space. They didn't have a lot of draft picks or prospects that they wanted to trade. So you kind of had to make do with what you have. And they sort of did that, I think, respectfully. You know, Derek Forbort's done for the year, probably not coming back. So you found a Derek Forbort replacement. And it's just about whether or not that guy can actually play. And that remains to be seen, but we're going to find out soon enough.
The Blues tonight, they've been scuffling, have lost three in a row. What do you think we'll see tonight?
Yeah, really bizarre team. You watch them and you see some skill. You see the way they can hang with teams. You know, I caught one of their games last week or a week ago, against Edmonton. And they hung with them. They were great. And then other nights, they get their doors blown off. So really a team that's kind of in a bizarre sort of spot as a franchise right now. And I think for the Bruins, it's just about really being who they've been the past week or so. You know, having a strong start, getting good goaltending. Their defensive game, their checking game has been phenomenal. So you look at the Blues and some of their high-end skill guys, and you just got to keep them in check. And if you do that, given their goaltending problems, you should have a great chance of winning tonight's game. So just a bizarre team, but I think about the Bruins, it's really about just how good their checking game has been and keeping that there and having that become your standard, because that's how this team is going to win games down the stretch.
So with 16 games left in the regular season, what should be the Bruins' goal? Where do they want to get by the time the postseason begins?
Well, above all else, you want to be healthy, right? I think that was your biggest downfall last year, is that they weren't healthy in the playoffs. And I think it may sound weird, but I think you kind of want to stay in that two seed. I think that the idea of playing the Toronto Maple Leafs in the first round instead of a white-hot team that got the wild card, you know, be that Tampa or Detroit, a team that you've had problems with this year, I think that makes more sense for the Bruins. You know, Toronto, they know how to play Toronto. They swept the season series. Those games have been very good, I think, from a Bruins standpoint, in terms of how they looked and how they played from a structure standpoint. Toronto, I think, arguably got worse at the deadline. They added a bunch of guys that are big and really don't move all that well, in my opinion. So I think that's where you want to be. You let Florida win the division, let them win the President's Trophy, whatever it is, you know, however they finish. But for you, if you draw Toronto, I think that benefits you more than drawing the second wild card team personally. So I think if you're the Bruins, you want to go through a bit more adversity, but really feel good about your game and be healthy for game one above all else.
Ty Anderson, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Talking Bruins, Ty, we appreciate it as always. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll catch up with you again very soon.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Ty Anderson here on Downtown 7.